A, B, C, D, E, F. Oh, it's the news, according to me. Hey, hey there, good morning. It is Wednesday morning, June 7th, 8:12 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, 2023, as we press on through this year. It is, we're almost halfway through the year. Very close to being halfway through the year. And oh my, what a year it's been. It's been a lot of chai. Been a lot of sweet tea. Been a lot of falling down. A lot of gaffes. A lot of craziness. A lot of weird people saying weird things. We have a very, interesting world in which we live. Or is it just a simulation? Something to think about. We have a lot of things going on. But the biggest thing, one of the big things I want to talk about this morning, it's probably the most biggest thing. It's on everybody's mind. It's what's in my cup. We have a chai with Cinnabon Creamer, of course. The real question this morning is going to be, what is in my backup cup? Because yesterday I alluded, if you listened to yesterday's show, if you were able to get it, one place I post it is not taking, it's like it gets to the point where it loads the file and then it becomes this, it says processing. And I thought maybe I wasn't giving enough time, because normally it says processing for about three or four seconds, and then it also, it's posted, and I can just push the post button, and I can't push the post button until it says it's done processing. And I left it there to see how long it would take. That was yesterday's show. Now I do post on Podbean, and apparently is working fine. I can post my stuff on there just fine. So I just heard back from support this morning on the other posting place. So I hope it's going out there. The only thing I don't like about Podbean is that I can't track the analytics. It's not as good, believe it or not, on Podbean as it is on this other platform that I post on. So I believe that my podcast goes out in two different places, and it probably ends up hitting Spotify and some other places twice. But the analytics for the one site is kind of what I go by. I don't even pay attention to what's going on Podbean. I might have a million followers. I'd have no idea. I'm probably outdoing Joe Rogan. I doubt it. But it's possible. Anything's possible. All things are possible. Not probable or plausible, but it's possible. So I have a lot of P words there, and I have to go to the bathroom. I have the main thing that's in my backup cup here this morning. I want to get sidetracked on that. That's an important topic. I got to stay on track with that one. Is yesterday I alluded to the fact that it might be apple cider, because there's apple cider in the house. But I have not decided to drink that apple cider this morning. I'm drinking sweet tea. However, it's not homemade sweet tea. This is sweet tea from a place we went out to eat last night. It's leftover. They gave me a cup to go. See, it's not only one of the reasons I go to this place to eat, but usually I pick places to eat that have sweet tea. I'm going to be frank about it. The food can be great another place, but if they don't have sweet tea, your steak is impeccable. It's slow cooked. You've been cooking it for 3 days. It's tender as tender can be. It was tenderized by little elves that came down from Elfland and tenderized it with their little hammers, tenderizing hammers. It was grass-fed beef. Slow cooked. There's no sweet tea. I can't stomach that. I'll eat the steak. Don't get me wrong. But, you know, I'm not coming back till you get sweet tea. Steak was only $3. So 4-pound steak for $3. But there's no sweet tea. And charge me $10 for a sweet tea, I'll come in and eat your steak. I don't know. Apparently I have a problem. Because that is something that drives me. So I go to this other place I eat at this place that has sweet tea. And unfortunately, my wife can only eat about 3 or 4 things on the menu there. But last night she conceded and let me go to where I wanted to go to eat. I hadn't eaten all day. I worked right through lunch. I didn't even think about lunch yesterday. Usually I just eat kind of a light. If I know I'm going to go out in the evening, I usually just eat like kind of a really light, like kind of like a hard-boiled egg and put some cheese and crackers with some sweet tea. But I have this sweet tea from the nice thing about this restaurant. This gets the big tip from me. I'll tell you what. If the server comes by, says, and first of all, the other day I was at a place called Aspen Tap and Grill, which was in Champaign, Illinois. Not only did I get sweet tea there, but when they didn't even come out and look. I was getting I was about halfway through my glass of sweet tea. Now, of course, the other half of it is ice. They put a lot of ice in there. So you get about halfway down on your cup and you're basically almost out because, that last little bit is going to go fast because there's so much ice in there. It's going to drain around the ice and there's really only a quarter of a cup in there, maybe less. So it's going to go fast. So you kind of start slowing down on the tea while you're eating because, I got to kind of be careful here. So I got the fish and chips, they have a really good fish and chips. It's a huge meal. Great big, huge pieces of cod and fries and coleslaw, of course. And all of a sudden, magically, from nowhere, this lady appears with another cup of sweet tea. Now, I probably could have asked her again for a cup to go. She probably would have given me one. But however, at this restaurant last night, she came by and she said, "Hey, anybody need anything? You guys doing okay?" So I'll need another sweet tea when you get a chance. She goes, "Oh, okay." So she takes a, gets a box for the leftover food that my wife had, and comes back with this box and a sweet tea cup to go. So I took it with me. I didn't have to slam it down there and have to pee all the way home. When you do that, I'm sorry, but the tip gets larger. It just does. It's sometimes it can double. That's how important it is to me. So I had this sweet tea from last night. I don't have the sweet tea that I made yesterday. I don't have the sweet tea that I don't have the apple cider that's in the refrigerator up there that's waiting for me to drink it. I did drink some of it last night. Boy, the pucker factor on that was quite intense. I forgot how the word cider, I guess, is in there. So it's, it's kind of, after you drink it, you say, "Cider, cider." So you take another sip. Cider. It's good stuff. So I have that going for me. I have a few things to talk about this morning. The alphabet soup thing is the alphabets. It's all part of this whole thing this morning. Some interesting things happening. I guess North Face no longer has my business. I'm sorry. What they want to do with their advertising thing is their own business. But you know what? Stay out of politics. Stay out of the stuff. Sell clothes. Sell your products for what they're used for. Okay? I don't know what it is. Okay, I don't get this whole effeminate. They call it effeminate. The whole thing with the over the top thing. I've actually had women ask me this question. And I've never brought it up to anybody else, and I'm bringing it up now, but the only reason I'm bringing it up now is because I have had people ask me this question. Women have asked me this question. They will say, I don't understand the gay behavior. I'm just talking about the effeminate acting thing. And it is kind of a mystery. What they've said, they've asked the question is, well, I'm a woman and I don't act like that. I don't talk like that. I don't act like that. So why would someone who wants to be a woman or dress like a woman, maybe isn't gay but just likes to dress like a woman, why would they act like that? I have some suspicions. I have some ideas about the whole thing. Some thoughts on it. I'm not going to share those. But I have the same questions. And there are people who are gay, but who have no idea that they're what they call straight acting or whatever you want to call it, whatever that is. I don't know. But we could get into a whole. I'm not a psychologist. I'm not going to get into this whole thing. But I do have opinions. And my opinion, sometimes I have just as much common sense as, sometimes common sense trumps the academia world and all their higher learning. They would hate it if they hate hearing people say that. I've had people who know nothing about, who have no aeronautical education, ask me questions or say something about an airplane. I have no idea. I didn't know that. I don't know everything about every model of airplane out there. And it's interesting how someone who's not in the field can know something about something else. And that's fine with me. But it's also interesting to me how obsessed some people are about that kind of stuff. I remember times when I was flying with someone and they'd look at an airplane. Oh, that's the A330. It has, this, that, and the other thing. And it has four of these and five of those and has 12 of those and has it weighs 300 and has max load. I'm like, really? Are you aware that we're about ready to take off into a thunderstorm? We might want to think about not doing that. Oh, yeah. See, I mean, it's just one of those things where it's like, I appreciate the fact that how hard the rivets are on our airplane. That's great. And some people are into that. We need those kinds of people. Don't get me wrong. We need those kinds of people around in the aviation world. The obsessed ones, the ones who just know everything about the airplane there is to know. Because you got people like me who don't really care about anything about the airplane. Just pull back, go up, push forward, go down. Land soft. Point in the right direction, go high, go fast. There you go. That's the technical knowledge that I bring to the table. We have a big metal tube filled with jet fuel. We're going to light it on fire, point it in the right direction, hurtle it through the sky at 500 miles per hour, and hopefully land at the spot we're supposed to land at, softly. What could possibly go wrong? That's my technical knowledge right there. I usually, when I make my passenger announcements, that's what I usually say. Good morning, folks. This is your captain speaking. We're going to take this big metal tube filled with people. It's also got a bunch of jet fuel on board. We're going to light that on fire, point it in the right direction, hurtle it through the sky at about 30,000 feet in the air at about 500 miles per hour with a descending velocity of about 2,000 feet per minute. hopefully landing on a small piece of pavement that's located about 1,000 miles from here. Roll it up to the gate and deplane you. What could possibly go wrong? So sit back, relax, and enjoy the flight. That's my typical announcement to the passengers. They seem to appreciate it. A lot of people get off after I make my announcement. I'm not sure why. They all go yelling, running off and screaming. I'm not sure what that's about. So we have a really interesting thing happening with the FBI right now. I'm conflated about this. The thing about this is, if I start talking about it, I'm sure that just saying the word FBI, or that's not really a word, I guess, the letters FBI, is probably going to put me in some kind of scanning position. Like they probably have automated systems that now all of a sudden, as soon as they see that, I'm on a list now, which I'm probably already on a list anyway. Would not be surprised. One of these days they'll be surrounding the house because I said something about the FBI. F stands for, fart. I don't know. So the problem right now is the big problem is we got, Christopher Wray. We have this organization, and what they typically will do, and this is, here's what's really spooky about this thing and really kind of scary about this whole thing. They can say all the right words. They get called before Congress and they sit there, well, this is part of an ongoing investigation. I can't make any comments on it. That's classified information. I can't really share that in an open setting. Well, I can't talk about that because that's an internal personnel matter. Well, I can't talk about that because I don't feel like talking about it. Well, I can't talk about that because it would condemn the FBI and it would expose sources and methods, which are illegal. We're not really supposed to do them. I can't talk about it because it would expose us for using sources and methods that are, we can't let the American people know what we're doing to them. We can't be honest with you because that would, expose us for the little weasel. Boy, I could really write off on him. Sometimes I wish I had a potty mouth. We just blurt it out there. But I'll let you fill in the blanks because I'm sure that my listeners have a creative imagination. Come up with the right expletives. I have this disdain right now for what's going on with the FBI. Now, they made a statement the other day that has really puzzled me. And I don't think that they meant to say it this way, but this is the way it came out, and it has raised my eyebrows. And that takes a lot for me, because I don't use that part of my face very often. I don't work out there. I'm getting old, and if I pull up my eyebrows, it takes a while to get them up there, first of all, and then I usually pull a muscle in my head. So I have to be careful with that. But I have this, what ends up happening here is they come out and they say, well, we have this letter. First of all, they told us, well, this letter, we're concerned that it may not have any credibility. First of all, they denied they even had any letter, that they had this 10-3741, whatever the number of this thing is. It's a whistleblower report. It's like a testimony, internal testimony witness type thing. First of all, they denied they even had it. Then when it's discovered that, well, they actually do have it, Oh yeah, we. Oh, that you mean that one? Oh yeah, we do have one of those. Oh yeah, okay, yeah. Oh yeah, I know what you're talking about now. Yeah, we have one of those. Yeah. You can't see it. It's not classified. No. But you can't see it. We're not. We don't. Can't verify that the information is actually correct. It's not. It's very possible that information is not correct. It was written a long time ago. Oh. Okay, well, who wrote the letter? Oh, we don't even know. I'm not even sure who wrote it. Oh, we found out who wrote it. Yes, it's a very highly paid, highly paid, high up FBI person that wrote this. One of the highest paid people in the FBI wrote this report. Oh, you mean that report? Oh, yeah, that we got that confused with that other report that you were asking about. You meant this report. Oh, yeah, that's pretty credible. Yeah, that one is. Yeah, but we can't let you see it because it could expose sources and methods and things and stuff and other things. Yeah, well, you can come see it, but it's got, we have to redact it. We have it in a skiff. It's not classified information, but we have it in a classified facility. Because it's, you know, sources and methods. Sources, mostly. Because, you know, the source. We can't divulge the source. Okay, well, I need to have that letter unredacted on my desk by Tuesday or Wednesday. Oh, well, we can't do that. Well, we're going to hold you in contempt. Oh, look what we can do here. I guess we can do this. So here comes the letter. Now, I don't know that it's been turned over to Congress yet or not. I don't know. But now they're concerned. Well, we're concerned about exposing the name of this individual who wrote this. Let us inform it, this whistleblower, because, we're concerned about their life. They could be threatened. They could be killed. Hello. This. Hello. What did you just say? Exactly. Who's the person who's going to threaten them here? This is a whistleblower in the case of Hunter Biden and Joe Biden. And you're concerned about someone killing the informant. His life could be in danger. Who's the one threatening here? If it's the FBI, that's a problem. Someone within the FBI is going to kill the person? Because you're saying that basically you can't protect this individual? Or is it someone from the Biden family or the DNC or Hillary Clinton? Who? Where is the threat coming from? Is it someone from overseas? Is this something that's, you know, this other country that they were doing business with? Because, by the way, this is actually, they've determined now that there was China money and there was Ukraine money funneled back to the Biden family. No question about it. And it was laundered through a bunch of LLCs, which they prominently display as this is their business. His advisory firm, it's one LLC. Joe Biden, which is Joseph. What's the guy's name? I think it's Joe Biden. Jim Biden, maybe. I don't know. Joe Biden. So Joe Biden has it's his brother, and then they're his cousin or his or not his cousin his nephew. And I guess one of their grandchildren all participate in all these LLCs. And the money is, you know, funneled back to these advisory firms. Well, I'm an advisor because they don't produce. See, this is where it goes to. It's like when you have an LLC like that, where you don't make anything, you don't produce anything, you don't provide a real service that you can, like, nobody can just walk up to Hunter Biden's LLC. He doesn't hang a shingle out anywhere. He doesn't have a website. You can't just go to his website. Hey, I want to have you advise me on some things about the oil industry. But you can't. No, it is an incredibly closed company. You can't do business with him unless you're a foreign entity that has a lot of money. And you contact him. He says, "Well, we'll do all this through the LLC." I didn't know you knew he had an LLC. I wasn't contacting your LLC. I was contacting you. There's not a regular business listed in the Yellow Pages type thing. If it's for those of you who are kids who don't understand what the Yellow Pages is, that's a big book that we used to have with all the businesses in it. You could call with phone numbers. You don't have those anymore. I think people still post. I think there's still someone who publishes a Yellow Pages, but it's kind of a joke. So we have, so this is going on with this whole thing. And the question is, who's threatening this guy? And why can't the FBI protect them? And why is the FBI being so cat and mouse with this thing? Now, we'll see if this thing actually happens now, if they actually produce it. And what ends up happening with it, and what if the information goes public, and what we're going to find out, what we're going to know because of it all. I doubt that we'll know anything, be quite honest with you. Of course, everybody's always, well, you know, it doesn't ever matter, nothing ever happens to anybody, which is, I'm 90% sure nothing's going to happen to Joe Biden or Hunter Biden. You see, they keep stretching this stuff out. And this is the way the FBI operates here with this stuff. Now, here's what is also very surprising, you know, just case in point of what I'm about to say. This ongoing investigation, of course, then Raskin comes out and says, oh, this investigation's been closed. There's nothing there. There was nothing to see. The document was nothing to see, and they already closed this thing. I was just in a meeting, and then this is the Adam Schiff SOP, standard operating procedure, comes out of this meeting. Well, I just got out of this meeting, and there's plenty of evidence in plain sight, or in this case, there's no evidence, and they closed down the investigation. No, they said four times that the investigation is still ongoing. That's why they can't answer any questions. And you're saying that they closed it down. You're lying. You're flat out lying to the American people. See, if I lied to Congress, this gets back to that whole thing. If I lie to Congress, well, I can go to jail. But if Congress lies to me, well, that's okay. Sorry. Oops, my bad. Oopsie whoopsie. I think it should be 10 times worse, in my opinion. If a congressman comes out and lies to the American people, that's the representative who is now defrauding the people. You should go to prison 10 times longer than somebody who lies to Congress. That's all I got to say about that. So, for 7 years, this investigation has been going on. 7 years. They've been protecting this thing. And I say protecting. They say, well, it's an ongoing investigation. How long does it take you to figure out something that Congress is figuring out in about 2 months? This is the kind of stuff they sit on. They put it on a shelf. Ongoing investigation. Now we don't have to comment on it because it's an ongoing investigation. And the statute of limitations will run out, or the administration changes. Well, now we have information on the other administration that we can bring out. See, they balance all this stuff out. They've become the curators of all this dirt on people, which gives them a lot of power. They have these shakedown meetings, which is exactly what Comey did to Trump. Here's how this went down. So here's what actually happened. And this is, I have no doubt that I'm right on this. There was a meeting. This was shortly after. This was like the day after inauguration. It might have been the day of inauguration. Trump is sitting in the Oval Office. James Comey and several other people from the FBI, and I think maybe one other, might have been the NIA or whatever. he's sitting in there and people start, you know, leaving the room. James Comey stays behind for whatever reason. I don't know if it was because Trump wanted him to, or because he decided to stay behind and talk, or whether other people were filing out. So, and I'm sure it was probably planned. Okay, we're all going to be in this meeting, and then you guys are going to leave, and I'm going to stay there. I'm going to confront the president with this information. James Comey, and he's taking notes, by the way. James Comey, in fact, I believe he wasn't taking notes. I believe he was recording the conversation. That's what I believe he was doing. He might have been acting like he was taking notes, but then he went back to the recording and took the transcripts of that. You know, he transcribed it into what looked like written words, written notes. And he takes this dossier out with the what's been known as the P-tapes, where supposedly Trump was over in Russia or someplace overseas, and he was staying in this hotel where he found out that Obama stayed, and he rented this room where Obama was in, that Obama was in, and he got these hired people to come in and do things. And it's gone way, and it's still out there. People believe this actually happened, because it's the things, the kind of things that people in Hollywood do, and the things that these perverts do. They think he did it. Yeah, what a terrible person. Oh, what a beast. What a monster. What a pig. It takes one to know one, first of all. But the whole thing was based on lies. There has been no Russian collusion between Trump and Putin. Nothing. How many investigations does it take? But we're going to get him. We're going to keep getting him. We're going to keep going after him until we get him on something. We're going to make up stuff. We're going to turn this crime into a federal crime, and then we're going to just extend the statute of limitations, and we're going to go after him for something he did back in 1972. That's the kind of crap what's going on right now. They're doing somersaults and half twists around everything that they can do to try to make this happen, and they will not rest until this guy is perp walked and put in jail. Right, probably going to put him in Jeffrey Epstein's old cell. You know, that'll end. So we have this stuff going on with this hidden document. Seven years this investigation's been going on. And they protect it. They protect these people. And they just wait for the administration to change. Now, James Comey. Oh, so yeah, this is the way it goes down. He's in the office. And he brings up this dossier. He pulls it out. Says, this is the kind of thing that's out there. I just want to let you know. This is the kind of thing that's out there. And this was a shakedown. This is like the mafia boss walking into your store saying, hey, you know, this is the kind of stuff that happens. You know, these people's places get robbed and they get burned down and all kinds of bad things happen out here. You know, we can provide protection for you. You know, if you just do things our way, you know, we can, you know, for $300 a month, we can provide you with protection, because, you know, we can't guarantee that you're going to be safe out here unless you pay us that $300 a month, you know, because something bad could happen to you. This is what was going on. This was the warning. Hey, you know, you better behave. You better be good. Because we got this kind of stuff out there that we can find. And if we publish this kind of stuff, it could end your career. Trump was like, well, it's not true. I don't know what you're talking about. Didn't happen. By the way, you're fired. Of course, before he got fired, he ran off to talk to his buddy with the transcripts, his notes from this meeting. Hey, you know, I can't give this to the press, but if you want to give it to the press, you can. So it went to the press. Shortly thereafter, Comey was fired, and rightly so. Now Comey's out there saying, oh, I can't, only Joe Biden. Joe Biden's the only person who can be president. Please, everybody, just have to vote for Joe Biden. Please don't vote for anybody else. Just vote for Joe Biden, please. Because he fears a retribution president. Well, you have a retribution president. Now, please understand here. James Comey is talking about a retribution president. Think about that for just a moment, please. If you would, just please. Think about it. Retribution from what? What kind of retribution are we talking about here? Let's just look up the term retribution. Let's just do that real quick. Let's see how you spell it. Retribution. There it is. Define retribution. Retribution. Punishment administered in return for a wrong committed. Punishment or reward distributed in a future life based on performance in this one. Now that's kind of that's kind of weird they put that in there. This is Word Nick. It's not Merriam's dictionary. Let's see if Merriam's got one in here. Merriam-Webster dictionary redefined. The meaning of retribution is recompense, reward. How to use retribution in a sentence. Let's take a look at that, because I trust Merriam's a little bit more than just Wordnik. The dispensing or receiving of reward or punishment, especially in the hereafter. Something given or exacted in recompense, especially punishment. Let's see what else they have here. With its prefix meaning retribution, elastic face. Actually, I like this other, the term that was used in this one sentence here. How they put this. Punishment administered in return for a wrong committed. Punishment administered in return for a wrong committed. So retribution will be punishment from Donald Trump for a wrong committed. He was wrongfully attacked, surveilled, maligned, investigated, I would say persecuted by the FBI wrongfully for how many years? Because they were in cahoots, they were conspiring with the news media to damage him, to go after him in every way that they possibly could. To lie, cheat, and steal, to deflate the guy. And now James Comey's concerned he's going to come back and wield the sword of retribution for the wrongs committed to him. And of course, Comey's going to be on the sticky point of that sword. Why are you afraid of the guy? If you didn't do anything wrong, why are you afraid of him? Why would you be afraid of a retribution president who's going to come in and tear apart the FBI, this important institution that we've only had for about 50 years? And I believe everybody else, about 60% of the, 65%, I think it was over 60% of the population polled said that changes need to happen at the FBI. It's no longer a law enforcement agency. It is an intelligence agency within the U.S. Intelligence and surveillance agency. They pick and choose now. Now, there's a comment that Ron DeSantis made. Now, I like Ron DeSantis. I would much rather have him as a president than this Joe Biden guy that we got in there right now. However, it's for reasons like this that I question who's around DeSantis right now and who's giving him advice. He makes this statement. Well, Donald Trump says he's going to drain the swamp. He said that the first time he didn't. He had 4 years to do it and he didn't do it. Do you think that when Donald Trump stepped into office, he had any idea how bad the swamp was? When James Comey was in his office and he said, "Will you be loyal to me?" And James Comey did not answer yes or no to that question. Of course, James Comey would say, "Well, no, I'm not loyal to you. I'm loyal to the people. I'm loyal to the Constitution." Bullcrap. You are not. But in his head, he is. He's in his own mind, the way he's defined himself as being this higher than, you know, his, like I said yesterday, his poop doesn't stink. And now he has the audacity to come out and say that. But so Ron DeSantis comes out and says this thing about the why didn't he drain the swamp the first 4 years? Well, who do you think is in the best position right now to drain this? Of anybody out there, do you think Ron DeSantis is going to have the motivation and the political will to wield the sword of retribution? I don't think so. Donald Trump is the most qualified person to know the ins and outs day one, and he's had these 4 years to prepare for this, to put people in place. And I believe some of the issues with the classified documents that were locked away, knowing where they were, locked away, in a locked facility, secured facility, that the FBI initially approved of, in a location that is always protected by Secret Service, not just somebody's garage that has who knows who walking in and out of it. Joe goes out to drive his Corvette around and finds out that his left his garage door open where there's classified documents that are over 20 years old in there. Well, wait a minute, Mike Pence. Me too. I've got some classified documents. Look at me. I've got some too because I'm important. I gave them to my lawyer right away because, you know, all lawyers apparently have top secret clearance. Apparently all lawyers do because I talked to my lawyers right away. My lawyers came, picked it up, took it to Washington. Really? Because there's no lawyers out there that are cheaters. They're all on the up and up. Apparently we can only trust lawyers. That's the weirdest part about this whole thing. Well, I talked to my lawyers about it. Hillary Clinton. Well, I asked my lawyers, you know, which emails we should keep. My lawyers said we need to delete all these emails because they were all personal emails. So we deleted all those. That's what my lawyers told me. Well, your lawyers need to be locked up with you then because that was all evidence. It's not up to you to decide. Well, you know, I had all this cocaine here. I wasn't sure which cocaine. This is my personal cocaine. That was the other cocaine that was owned by somebody else. So I took all of that cocaine and I flushed it all down the toilet before you came in to check on it because my lawyers told me I needed to get rid of this cocaine because I didn't want you to have to sift through all that to find out which was which. It's not up to you to decide an investigation. This happens with Congress. They will notify someone, you need to retain all your records because we're going to come after them. Oh, oopsie whoopsie. We were in the process of retaining them and the thumb drive got smashed by a hammer. Oh, dang it. I thought it was a nail. Oh, it got flushed down the toilet. Oh, stupid me. Oh, we pushed the wrong button and it deleted everything. and we happen to use Blitzbeat on Bitchbleat, whatever it is. Whoopsie. Bleachbit. That's what it is. I think I said a bad word there. Well, it's, I guess it's not a bad word. It's just a mother dog. It's in the dictionary. So we have this stuff going on. But, you know, they play these games all the time. This is why the American people basically at some point just say, you know what, I got to go work and pay my bills. And you guys just deal with this. I'm tired of caring about it anymore. But, you know, that's what I'm here for. I'm here to take all this stuff and mix it up and spew it out there. Get all worked up about it. Because apparently I have really low blood pressure. I just recently went to get a physical, which I do about every 6 months. I get a physical. And I I think my blood pressure was like 120 over 62 or whatever it was. I don't know. It's pretty low. Now, I don't know about my triglycerides and all my blood. I used to get my blood work done every year. And I was always kind of borderline on the high and low. I was on the good cholesterol was pretty low and my bad cholesterol was fairly high. I don't know if that's still, it was always that way. And the doctor was basically like, well, if that's normal for you, that's normal. It's staying consistent. It's not going crazy. Now, I did notice that when I started putting, I used to drink hot tea every morning. And it was a lot of sugar in it, I'll tell you that. When I started putting coconut oil in my tea, my triglycerides things, it actually got better. So I don't know. But my EKGs are good and my, you know, I wasn't exercising back then either. I do a lot more exercise now than I used to. And I also, I do some supplement stuff and I try to eat better. So I know that all that's, I'm sure it's going to hopefully play a part in keeping things balanced. And I certainly feel fine. So I have a, yeah. So for those of you who are wondering what's going to happen here with the FBI, I can only believe that the deep state is going to do everything in their power to keep Donald Trump out of office. They are certainly going to do everything in their power to keep Bobby Kennedy Jr. out of office as well. I don't think they're going to allow him. He has flat out come out and said he's going to get rid of, dismantle the FBI, basically, and the CIA. Now, I think there could be something else put in his place. I think there's plenty of ways to go about gathering intelligence and assimilating it properly without having to have an agency that's, you know, like 90,000 people, agents or whatever, involved in it. Or maybe it needs that many, but it just needs to be structured differently, very differently, compartmentalized, and the accountability needs to be there. It's just ridiculous what we have now. There's no accountability whatsoever. They just wait it out. Well, it's an ongoing investigation. It'll be going on for about, let's see, how much longer do you have in your term? Three more years? Okay, well, I'm sure it'll be going on for at least three more years until we get a new administration, and we'll see how it works out. And then we'll forget about it. Your little investigation, your little congressional committee is going to end in a couple months, and then we'll go on with the next thing. We'll just hold on to that information for you. So you screw up and we find out something about some dirt on you. And then we'll, you know, keep you from, then we'll shut you up. And you'll leave Congress and go off to a news program somewhere. And then we'll continue this conversation there where we'll become, you know, maybe you'll hire me then as a contributor. Pay me, you know, $1 million a year to be a contributor there. Thank you very much. And this information, we'll just hold on to it until, you know, until otherwise you stop paying me for contributing once a week or once a month. Crazy stuff, folks. It is. When the pool of money keeps getting deeper and deeper in Washington, which it does. Now, all this COVID funding and all the stuff that happened during that time. Of course, now you've got Ukraine money flowing like the dam has broke. There's a lot of things that you have to look at some things that happen once in a while. Sometimes I think God speaks through things like this. There are these things called harbingers. It's kind of a, so Joe Biden falls down. I noticed when he fell down, there was something that he tripped over, that supposedly tripped over a sandbag. Now, there was a sandbag there, apparently. And he trips over this thing. Now, okay, when he falls down, it was a hard fall. His legs were locked up. The one leg, he just couldn't get his leg around. I think when he went to whatever it was, he was really starting to move in one direction and his leg got caught on that sandbag, whatever. He went down. Now, the sandbag was about 4 inches tall, from what I could see, 3 to 4 inches tall. It wasn't very tall. It was like there to hold down some things from, you know, like either a tablecloth or some wires or whatever it was. He goes down hard. And you know how he did with the steps. The first time he fell, he kept going, and of course he tripped again, and then he tripped again. The last time he really went down hard, and he'd stopped. He finally stopped and stopped trying to run up the steps. And he gathered himself together, and he, you know, shook himself off, and then he started walking up the steps instead of trying to run, trying to prove something. Then he, you know, he has a couple other falls. Now he has this fall. I think it was significant that that he fell three times on the steps. Let me put it that way. And I'm not going to get into that right now. I'm going to talk. I think that spoke some things, in my opinion. Where it happened, how it happened, who was watching him, what he was doing, you know, all those things, I think, played into something that we need to pay attention to. He falls down at an event where it's a graduation ceremony for military cadets, basically. These kids graduating from a military school. Then, when he falls down, he falls hard from a small, inanimate, or not inanimate, a small object that was insignificant, a sandbag of all things. A sandbag is nothing but dead weight. There's no purpose, really, for a sandbag. It's not a tool. It's just there to create weight, to weigh something down, just to hold something down, keep it from blowing away. It's all it's there for. You can't use it to turn a screw, to turn a nut. You can't use it to drive a nail. You can't use it there's just very few things you can use a sandbag for. It's pretty much a very limited kind of, just a kind of a, you know, what else are you going to use it for? Not something you carry around with you all the time because I might need that sandbag. You keep a pocket knife, a sandbag. However, a Swiss Army knife probably has a sandbag in it. So he trips over this thing. So then he falls down, he falls hard. And when he attempts to get up, he can't get up on his own. If you notice this, he's not able to get up. I'm sure if he was given enough time, he probably would have gotten up on his own and got away. It took two people to get him up. And right after he fell, his legs were so buckled that he went to kind of get up, and he wasn't even in a position to get himself up. They had to lift him up. I think this is very telling. Now, you can fill in the blanks however you want to. I'm just going to give you the data here, the things to look at. What is God saying through this? I just think that when things like this happen, it is a sign. It is a word to us. Sometimes it's a warning. Sometimes it's a blessing. Now, there are times you can read too much into this. And there's actually a religion about, you know, there's sort of some kind of a belief or some kind of weird, it's not Christian, it's shamanism, whatever it is. I can't remember what it is. There's something where they believe that everything that happens like this is, it's all, you know, it's, now, I do believe that there are ways that God speaks to us or that he reveals things to us or points out things sometimes through things like this happening. And I believe that. However, at the same time, we have to be careful with that. We can take note of all these things and then say, okay, God, what are you saying? We don't want to try to interpret it on our own. I've seen some of these dream interpreter people, for instance. Well, I know that this always represents this. Well, maybe in this case it doesn't. Well, no, it always represents that. This always represents this. Oh, okay. Well, I guess in your world then, if you have that dream, I guess that's what you can say. But I had a dream, and this is what I saw, and that is not what I believe God was saying to me. I really don't. And you're saying it represents this, and I am saying, no, I don't think so. Not in this case, it didn't. Now, I've got another buddy of mine who, he's very careful with that kind of stuff. Well, normally it represents, you know, he'll say normally it represents this or that. He's not like dogmatic about it, which is good. It's good to know. So, sometimes water represents something or driving in a car represents something, but not always. And this other guy, man, he was like adamant that it had to mean this. And I don't think it did in this case. Oh, no, I had to. That's always, I know that for a fact. I was like, oh, well, hello. Okay, then, I'm not going to ask you anymore. So it's kind of interesting how that happens. Now, and I think in this case, it's like, I'm going to just look at the facts here, look and see what it is we believe that God might be saying through this. If he's saying anything, maybe he's not. I just know that God is in every little detail. I know that nothing happens outside of his purview, unlike Mueller. And I believe that little things will happen that are outside of our control or within our control sometimes that because of the way it goes, maybe he's saying something here. Not maybe, probably is. And we just need to be attuned to what's happening. Or at least be aware of or looking for him in circumstances. So, having said all that, my hour is up. Now, tomorrow, I do not know if there will be a show or not. If things happen the way they did last week, it is very possible that there may be a show tomorrow morning. Friday is, who knows what's going to happen on Friday. Thursday and Friday this week are going to be crazy. I believe that next week, I believe it's next week. It might be the week after. I think it's next week. Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday will be the show. Monday. Oh, no, I take that back. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, next week, there will be a show. It's the following week. It will be Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. So next week will be Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. And then so be Thursday and Friday will be another crazy one. So whether or not to be a Friday live show or not is all going to be up in the air. Folks, pray for our nation. Pray for, if I don't see you until next Monday, God bless. Have a great weekend. Take care.